This is Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. My interview with members of the Western Brass Quintet, tubist Jacob Cameron and horn player Lynn Folk Baird, begins in progress. Here's Lynn Folk Baird.
Brass Quintet, so you'll hear some of that on the program tonight, and also new music that's composed for Brass Quintet, because our ensemble, the Brass Quintet, is a fairly recent ensemble when you consider the history of chamber music. You know, we've had string quartets that are 200, 300 years old, and most of the Brass Quintet repertoire has been written in the last 50 years. And so, I think throughout the history of the over 50 years of this ensemble, we've stayed true to the mission of the ensemble.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating because it also overlaps with the fact that your instruments are developed from ancient. It's not like the instruments were invented at the same time as quintet music was.
Right.
You have the legacy, each of your the trumpets, the horns, the trombones, and I'm not sure about the tuba, actually.
I'm the youngest.
How old that instrument is. But
yeah, so that's more recent, so mid, late 1800s. And the tuba was, developed as a much smaller instrument than it is now. Like most of the brass instruments, I think most of the instruments that we play are significantly larger than they were when they were developed. Mm-hmm. So that in an orchestral setting, they're much louder and but yeah, so the one interesting thing about the tuba, because it's so recent, is actually our instruments aren't even standardized at all. So like if you see a French horn, they pretty much all from a distance look the same, but tubas look dramatically different from even within the same manufacturer, because it's such a young instrument, they haven't really settled on a standard yet.
So as far as keys and wrap?
Yeah, and the way it's wrapped, and in different countries they play different keyed instruments. And so in Russia they will predominantly play B-flat tubas, and in Europe they predominantly play F-tubas, even in big orchestral situations. And then here we'll play C-tubas in orchestral situations, but I'll be playing an F-tuba in the chamber group because it's a little bit smaller, so mm-hmm. it fits in with the brass quintet a little bit better.
And even though our instruments are ancient, the development of the valve in the early 1800s, so the patent was 1814, 1815, something like that, when the valve was invented, really made a big difference as far as the versatility and the way that the instrument can play chromatically, not be tethered to the harmonic series as much.
So a radical innovation.
Yeah. So our instruments are relatively, the instruments that we have now are relatively recent.
Mm-hmm. And they're still duking it out over tuba design.
Yes. Even though there's just a few decades difference,
it's
remarkable how different they are. Yeah.
You say in the States, a C tuba is often used, but you're playing an F tuba, and I'm thinking that's F above that C?
That's correct.
So
it's a little smaller. And so there's actually four common keys for tubas: B flat, which is the biggest and lowest, and then C, and then E flat and F. And so I play a C tuba and an F tuba, and I use C in orchestra mostly, and then F in quintet and solo mostly.
How large of a closet do you need to fit four different kinds of tubas?
Well, we have an extra garage.
What I find remarkable, too, is how they go back and forth between keys. They just think of each tuba as different fingering systems.
That's right. So a triple player will transpose, or a horn player will transpose the music, and we don't do it that way. We just learn different sets of fingerings for the two different instruments, because we usually will only play two. So you'll either play B flat and E flat, or C and E flat, or C and F, or B flat and F, or something like that.
That's complex.
I'm with tubist Jacob Cameron and horn player Lynn Folk Baird, and they're two of the five players taking the stage tonight at 7:30 for a recital by the Western Brass Quintet. And we should get back to the topic you brought up, Lynn, which is new music, bringing a special repertoire to the quintet, and furthering the repertoire in a number of ways, performance being one.
Yeah, we're always looking for new pieces, and as an ensemble, it's a very democratic process how we decide what mm-hmm. to play. And so often a member will bring in couple of us will bring in when we're considering new pieces, and we read a lot of new pieces. And we're also initiating. We're in contact with composers to get them to send pieces to us. And so there's always that process. We have a Turkish composer that just contacted us last week that we're looking at for next year, next season. And we have a couple of pieces in our folders that we're already considering for next season. So we're constantly reading, constantly looking for new music that we can play that's not only contemporary, but new to us and new to our ensemble as well. And again, I think the program tonight represents some of that, because some of these pieces, most of us didn't know and we hadn't performed before. So it's fun to be able to play new music.
That's right. Yeah. Two of the pieces. So one of the pieces is very standard, which is the Boza Sonatine. Yep. So that we all were aware of that.
I think we've all performed that piece. Yeah.
And then
let me clarify. It's Eugène Boza, who wrote this piece back in 1951.
Yeah.
So one of the earlier pieces in the repertoire.
So you grew up with this piece
as
a standard.
Yeah.
But always good to refresh, and still audiences may not be familiar with a kind of a quintet classic like this.
That's right, yeah.
And we want to perform for our students as well. You know, we want to make sure our students know some of the classic repertoire as well. So that's also a consideration. We want them to hear us play standards too.
Two of the other pieces, the Tom Ritter George and the George Walker, are not really new pieces, but they're new to us. Mm-hmm. So the Tom Ritter George, the Western Brass Quintet, has played before, but I have not played it before. Have you played it before?
I have,
then?
Yep.
But the Walker, none of us had played in the Western Brass Quintet before, though Scott Thornburg, our trumpeter, had played it with the Kalamazoo Symphony Brass Quintet a couple of years ago, and that's how he was introduced to it, and he brought it in because he really liked it, and we read it, and we really liked it, and so we programmed it.
Yeah.
I'm getting confused by George's.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, right, of course, yeah.
let's focus on one of them, and I would like to hear about George Walker's piece, Music for Brass. And we're talking 1975, but maybe you can fill in some of the details about George Walker, who I think is a Pulitzer Prize winner for music.
Yeah, that's what I know about him. He received the Pulitzer Prize for his piece called Lilacs for soprano and orchestra. And, you know, he was a prodigy. He graduated from Juilliard when he was 18 and went to Eastman. And he was a pianist. And his degrees were mostly in piano. And he studied with Nadia Boulanger. You know, a lot of composers went to Paris.
It's still such a badge of honor.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. And he taught at several universities in the 60s and the 70s. We found, we hadn't heard of him, didn't know of this composer, and this piece is so unique in the repertoire, challenging. It's one of those pieces I think maybe it's harder for the performer than it sounds, because there's so many meter changes but the music is quite accessible. It's quite pleasant to listen to, but incredibly complex to learn and put together.
Yeah, and I think even listening to it, it's a totally unique voice.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything that resembles his music before. And so it was, when we first read it, it was almost startling to hear because we didn't know what to make of it. But as we played it more and more, we just grew to really love it.
Yeah.
One thing to know about George Walker is he's African-American and died just a year or two ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And just as more and more ensembles were taking a new look at his legacy and his pieces, he strikes me as a composer who probably has forgotten more about music than most of us will ever know.
Yeah.
Because his style is, he can change it so quickly with such great intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
The Music for Brass has four movements. What are they? How's the structure look?
Yeah. So the first movement is, he subtitled it Prelude. And again, this is probably not complex rhythmically. They're all complex in their own ways rhythmically.
On a random thing, yesterday I texted everybody in the quintet to let them know that the first movement of this piece has over 60 meter changes just in the first movement. So it's complex.
It's a lot of
but
counting.
But it doesn't sound complex.
Yeah.
It sounds very natural and intuitive, I think.
And there's a lot of brass fanfare in this movement. You hear the whole ensemble playing full voice, probably more so than the rest of the movement. So there's a lot of good brass fanfare chorale writing written in the first movement.
Not a lot of quintet ensembles have recorded this piece.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This goes back to one of the seminal quintets of the last century.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was the
American Brass Quintet?
Brass Quintet.
And a lot of the repertoire that we play was commissioned by or written for the American Brass Quintet. Mm-hmm. So they're responsible in large part for the majority of the repertoire that's out there for serious brass quintets.
Well, I'm with tubist Jacob Cameron and horn player Lynn Folk Baird, and the Western Brass Quintet is in concert at 7:30 tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Let's take a break and hear the American Brass Quintet play the opening of Music for Brass, Sacred and Profane by George Walker. Well, we were taking a pause after the first movement of George Walker's Music for Brass, the Prelude, too interesting, really, to turn off. It was really hard.
That's very compelling.
Yeah.
From there, he has a dance movement and then a chorale based on, I'm thinking, a German, maybe Protestant or Lutheran chorale, and a final dance. That's music of George Walker, who is a composer who deserved a lot more attention during his lifetime and now is being celebrated as one of the great original American composers of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you tuned in during the music, I'm with two wonderful musicians, Lynn Folk Baird, who is a splendid horn player, and the terrific tubist, Jacob Cameron, from the Western Brass Quintet. Would you mention your colleagues who are playing with you tonight?
Sure.
Yeah, so on trombone, we have Daniel Mattson, who plays in the Western Brass Quintet and is a member of the Grand Rapids Symphony.
As is Jacob.
Oh, as am I. and on trumpet, we have Bob White and Scott Thornburg, both on faculty at Western, of course, and wonderful trumpet players.
Yep. I'm curious about how you figure out what to play, your suggestions. I mean, how do these things get prioritized?
Well, even this week, as Dr. Folk mentioned earlier, she sent a piece to us via email for us to listen to, and it was of a Turkish composer that none of us had heard of before. And sometimes this happens where the composers will email either the quintet or individual members or something, and we usually try to follow up on that because you never know. And in this particular case, I know at least three other people listened to it and liked it.
Yeah.
And so we will, in the fall, have that music available, and we'll read it together as a group, and then try to imagine where it could be programmed if we really like it. And if we don't really like it, then we just put it away and we don't play it again.
It was in a drawer.
And
it might be read again later. I mean, we always we do a lot of reading, and we always promise a composer, we will read your piece, but I can't promise you that we can program it. Because programming, as far as brass goes, and particularly with the upper brass, we have to consider endurance, and fatigue is a very real thing for us. When we're putting programs together, that's a real concern, is how a program flows for our embouchure muscles. And if we're able to play, where we're able to play specific pieces. We talked a lot about this Boza, this standard rep, you know, it would be effective at the end, but I don't think we could play it at the end of a program.
Right,
so
yeah.
This is what we talk about and negotiate as colleagues. We're like, I don't think I can do that at the end of the program.
And sometimes a piece, you know, the length of it will keep it off a program or put it on a program.
Right.
So, you know, or some pieces are really fit well at the end of a program or at the end of a half or at the opening of. So you only have so much room each year. And so sometimes we won't program a piece that we like, but we'll kind of keep it in the back of our mind for a future program.
Yeah, we have some Balinese pieces that I'm going to keep pulling out that's at the bottom of our drawer. We just haven't found a place on it in our programs yet. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's a nice tease.
Yeah,
for future Western Brass Quintet programs. And here's another tease. I understand you're going to release an album in the spring.
That's right.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. It's finally, we recorded it, when was it, 2016, I think?
May
of 2016. And it's just been slow going. We got a grant from the university to put this all together. And it's just, for whatever reason, many different reasons, it's been slow for us to get this out. But it's going to be released in March. And that includes a lot of new pieces that the quintet has commissioned, as well as some standard rep.
That's right. So the title of the album is Better Angels, and that's taken from a piece that David Coulson wrote for us. And this is actually our last CD. We also recorded a piece of his. And his piece was entitled Better Angels of Our Nature, which was something that Obama said about a shooting. And I don't remember the details offhand, but it's a very emotional and compelling piece. We also have a new piece by Allie Miller, who's an oboist with the Grand Rapids Symphony and a prolific composer. And it's called Dark Mirror. And it's kind of like a noir kind of vibe to it. And it's really, really great piece. Yeah. Another standard piece that we have is the Malcolm Arnold Brass Quintet, which we've all played a bazillion times. But a lot of times when we're doing a more standard piece like that, we feel like we have our own personal stamp we put on it, and it's kind of to archive that a little bit and share it with the world.
Yeah.
And we also have a piece by Catherine Lacuda, which is
She's an Australian composer. Yeah, It Comes and Goes.
It Comes and Goes, that's right.
And it was fun because it was written when she was pregnant, and it's about the baby inside her belly. It was coming and going, the energy and the attention that that she was able to feel the baby coming and going in her belly. And I was pregnant at the same time, so that was really special for me to be able to play that piece. Yeah.
And it comes out in a few weeks, in March?
Yep, comes out in March. The Summit Records. So if you go to the Summit Records website, you'll be able to find that.
And if you're on Facebook, of course, our Facebook page will kind of tease that as it comes along, and you'll be able to find it through that if you need to.
And you'll have a copy for the WMUK library and hear it on Classical WMUK.
Right.
You know, we just made this change a week ago last Monday.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that people get the word about the service, and I hope to hear that you're enjoying it.
Yes.
Too, when you're driving around 89.9 and
absolutely
102.1. I'm glad to hear it.
Yep, I've already changed my settings in my car. Yep.
Well, let's remind listeners again that the Western Brass Quintet will be in concert at 7:30 tonight, and there's a pre-concert talk with Dr. White, who is going to be playing trumpet as well, at 7 o'clock, and go through some of the repertoire. We've talked about the classic Sonatine by Eugene Botza, and we've talked about George Walker's Music for Brass, 1975 and revised in 1998. If I turn the page, you did mention Tom Ritter George. Mm-hmm. And again, this is an under-the-radar kind of work. Which, you know, kind of for performers is exciting to, you know, give audiences that really first exposure to the music.
And for us as well.
It's a responsibility.
And always playing new music is challenging, but it keeps you fresh, you know. Yeah. It makes it exciting to do it each time. So.
Well, since we can't hear it today, can you talk about what his tools are here?
I would love to talk about this piece. Again, like the Walker, this is very unique in our repertoire in that, like the Botza, if you hear that, or a lot of brass quintet music, it starts loud, virtuosic. It focuses on those things. The Tom Ritter George is completely opposite. It starts as if it's inviting you in. It's piano. It starts very little bells. It's all very tonal, highly accessible music. There are meter changes, but they aren't. It's like 2-4 and 3-4. It's very the audience would hardly notice that. This piece explores more of the maybe introspective, subtle aspects of a brass quintet, and shows that we can do that part too. Not everything has to be higher, faster, louder.
Yeah, and it's one of the few pieces in the repertoire that starts and ends with a gentle nature.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not
yeah.
typical for brass music.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun to be able to do that.
Gentle is a very good word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole piece has its... the second movement has some guts to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, the approach is much more gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Ritter George. Was he a brass player, do you think? Knew enough about... orchestration and
I know he had a
connection
to trombone. Was he a trombonist? Because he wrote a trombone concerto, and he has written quite a bit for brass. So.
Yeah, this is his fourth brass quintet,
right.
So he wrote at least four of them.
He's composed five.
Oh, yeah. He composed five?
He's composed five brass quintets.
So that's quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that he worked at the University of Idaho for much of his career, so that was where he was a professor of music. So, yeah, as far as his brass... yeah, he had, with the great trombone teacher Emery Remington, he had a connection to Remington somehow. So I don't know if he studied trombone early on. But yeah, he was at Idaho State University from 1983 to 2007. And as far as we know, he's still alive. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any indication otherwise.
In the world of brass quintets, part of the work is bringing on... unheralded works back to the concert stage, commissioning brand new works from today's composers, recording those works so that other quintets can get a listen and maybe add them to their programs.
Mm-hmm.
And often at school, you're inviting other groups to come and perform. There have been many great brass groups American and European that you've mm-hmm. brought to Western mm-hmm. Michigan University. But tonight's the night for the Western Brass Quintet, you know, to own the stage. And I'm wishing you all the best in your concert for tonight at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Why don't we say a few words about the Vivaldi, and perhaps we can finish with one of your recordings, maybe Monteverdi or La Fosse. But yeah,
sounds great.
Yeah, we're going to end where the concert starts.
Sure. So this is also in line with our mission. I said we'd like to not only perform new music for brass quintet, but we also like to create arrangements, compelling arrangements for our ensemble. So our trombonist Dan Madsen has arranged quite a bit for us, and he brought in several movements of pieces that we read in the fall. Some worked, some mm-hmm. didn't. mm-hmm. So these are the ones that we all five felt like, oh yeah, that really works for this ensemble. And so he took these arrangements from, again, Antonio Vivaldi, a large choral cantata called Dixit Dominus. And what I found interesting about this is that the piece was composed for double choir and double orchestra, so huge forces at this period of time.
There's only five of you.
I know, exactly. Well, the movements that we're performing are the inner movements of this choral cantata, and there are 10 movements mm-hmm. of it, are more chamber and feature soloists with orchestra.
Right, so, where Vivaldi focused on the solos.
Yeah, exactly. So the movements that you'll hear performed are the ones for soloists and orchestra. And, you know, again, I just find them compelling.
Yeah,
we really don't have any other reason beyond that to perform it. It just felt good to play,
it's
and
fun.
We enjoyed the music.
Yeah. Sheer beauty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like this program has it all, mm-hmm. and I think tonight will be great fun for both all of you and the audience as well. Again, that's tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University. Tickets available at the door and in advance through the Miller Auditorium box office. And don't forget that Better Angels, the new recording by the Western Brass Quintet, is on the way. It should be released in March. You can get a copy through the record label Summit Records mm-hmm. and hopefully at a local public concert in the next year or so.
Yes.
Jacob and Lynn, let's listen to your own recording of Monteverdi, shall we?
These are
another set of Madsen arrangements, which you recorded on the Summit Records album For Then and Now. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
for having us.